Dominating the front pages of all of our newspapers this morning is the resignation of Minister for State Robert Troy. Troy quits post after 10 difficult days. Troy resigns as Minister of State after property controversy in the Irish Independent this morning. Defiant Troy makes no apologies as he resigns. Another August, another high-profile political resignation in this country, associated, of course, directly with the political toxicity that is now the housing crisis for this government. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail and assess the fallout for the government is John Downing, who writes for the Irish Independent. John, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning. Can I ask you, John, first of all, how much of this resignation was about Robert Troy's own mistakes, or how much of it was about the fact that this fed directly into the open wound that housing is for this government in terms of their failure to deal with it over the last couple of years?
Well, I think he might have had, in better times, he might have had a sporting chance of battling through if the economy was flying, if we were in the mid-noughties before that horrible crash in 2008, he would have had a sporting chance. Mind you, it always looked pretty god-awful. But we are in the midst of situations where we see people queuing for rental properties, people with money to pay rent being stuck, people actually with money to pay these extortionate rents being unable to get a place to live. So that, and then it's also coming as we brace ourselves as autumn draws nearer. We're bracing ourselves for an energy crisis feeding into a major cost of living crisis. So it looked pretty god awful. Here's a member of government, 11 properties, 9 of them out being rented, and 7 of those benefiting from some form of taxpayer subsidized rental arrangement. So it did look like nothing on earth. The man's core defence was, look, I misunderstood the regulation. I thought really that you'd only be talking about stuff that you owned at the end of a year. That explains, that rather poorly explains some of it, not all of it. He's 11 years a TD, 7 years a councillor. Prior to that, he was a postmaster. Procedure and form filling would not be unknown to him.
It certainly wouldn't. And was he straying, if you look at the pure politics of the situation, was he straying into Phil Hogan territory? Several interviews, day by day a new statement, followed by a revelation, followed by some other unknown aspect, followed by another statement and another interview.
Yeah, certainly late and incomplete. And as I say, the kernel of his, the core of his, a very compelling interview on Tuesday with RTE's Brian Dobson. Very engaging radio, just purely from the drama of it. By the way, on a personal level, I have sympathy for him. He's a young man, recently married. You know, there are family situations. There's all sorts. It's a pretty tough business, but that's the way life is. But late and incomplete explanations certainly added to his difficulties.
Yeah, get the information out, get it early. That's the way to give yourself the best chance, I suppose. Just talking about the purely politics of it. What do you make, Janet, of the wider question here, and before we talk about the leadership of both parties involved, but in terms of his statement last night, and I know your own newspaper says, you know, he's defiant, he's not apologising. While I accept my mistakes, I would like to state that the narrative being put forward by some media and some in the opposition that landlords are villains is simply wrong. I'm acutely aware of the sensitivity of the housing situation in Ireland. On a continuous basis, I work to assist constituents to address their housing needs. But vilifying landlords is not the answer, and it will not help the problem. I personally will not apologise for being a landlord. I bought my first house at the age of 20 as I went straight to a job after school, so I was in a position to purchase my first property then. I'm not a person of privilege. I have not been brought up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I have worked for all I have. Now, that on one hand will play undoubtedly to the landlords out there who do feel vilified and hard done by and blamed for everything. At the same time, they're needed to solve the problem. But on the other hand, there is a generation out there, no matter how hard they work at the moment, will not be able to afford a house and not have the luck and the heart, the ability to work hard, because the situation has gone so badly out of kilter. That won't work very well for them in terms, or play very well with them in terms of the way Ireland works.
No, not for what we glibly call generation rent. I mean, that's young people making their way in the world of work who literally at this point, many of them, as I was saying at the start there, many of them can't even rent, let alone begin to buy. The rents are such that they couldn't possibly try to save a deposit. There are schemes, we are told, circular. A lot of the schemes feed into the problem, because the fundamental problem is lack of supply, as we know. We've been uphill and down Dale on this. He does have a point about landlords. He's not perhaps the one best made, best place to make it at this stage. But he certainly does have a point about landlords, people who bought property as a kind of pension fund or as a supplementary income for later in life, and they certainly are. A healthy private rental market was and always will be part of an important part of the housing market.
Yeah.
So he does,
on the face of it, John, what he was doing is what the government wants landlords to do. They want them to buy houses, fix them up, get them running, get HAP tenants or Ross tenants in, or sell them to local councils so they have housing to provide for people who are desperate for houses.
Certainly, and anyone with knowledge, auctioneers particularly, tell me, you know, that some a chunk of their work is acting on behalf of the council, procuring housing. Of course, the difficulty is when the council bag a house, well, that's another one that the private renter can't get.
Yeah.
So again, we're in this, you know, most of the remedies that have been posited so far have, to one degree or another, compounded the housing shortage. So, yes, but he does have a valid point. Time and place, he's not the best man to be making that point. Yeah. About the importance of private landlords. They are not villains. They are an important component in the housing sector.
Yeah, John, what does this say about the leadership of, I suppose, Micheál Martin first and foremost, Taoiseach of the country, leader of Fianna Fáil, supporting and backing Robert Troy all the way in this saga?
Absolutely. As late as yesterday afternoon, both he and Leo Varadkar, were, via their spokesman, were saying that they were still supportive of Robert Troy and felt he should continue, that he was very good and hard-working minister, which I believe he was, but it does raise serious questions about both leaders. The bigger problem, of course, is with Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin. People will compare and contrast the speed with which in the early months of this government he sacked two ministers on the trot, and they will wonder. There was definite dismay within the ranks of Fianna Fáil. However much personal sympathy there may have been for Robert Troy, there was dismay that they were shipping so much damage. All the things we talked about: housing crisis, cost of living, energy crisis, all of that. And in the middle of it, you have this complete political eyesore, which is allowed to persist, and no sign whatsoever of an early of an ability to draw an early line under it.
Yeah, yeah, and then it paints a picture, I suppose, going into the new Dáil term in a couple of weeks' time, of maybe the pressure this government will be on. There's disagreements in the background over energy, over Shannon LNG as one element. The question of cohesiveness now, a new junior minister has to be found. There's a changeover coming up pretty quickly, a budget to get through, and a difficult winter, as you say, John, testing times for them.
Oh, very, very much so. And interesting also, another element, the Green Party was taking there was a certain element of a shilling each way by Eamon Ryan saying we need more investigations of Robert Troy. I think appealing to his own base, but also saying he was in essence lining up. He was not looking for Robert Troy to go. So there's that element of it. Then at the same time, Eamon Ryan was making noises about a windfall tax on energy companies. Now, that will come on the budget at the end of next month. But it was very quick clarification from his own spokesperson saying, look, of course, we're going to look at the idea of a windfall tax for energy companies. So, you know, as you said, that's another example of the tensions within the three parties of this coalition government and between them. And very, very difficult times coming. There will be the opposition have already moved on to question the judgment of both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste in their management of the whole Robert Troy case. And, of course, also, there is the whole question again of ethics legislation, which relies on entirely voluntary dedication or declaration by politicians without compulsion by the supervisory authority, the Standards and Public Office Commission.
Yeah. So will the turkeys vote for Christmas? Will they strengthen the powers to have themselves investigated?
That is a great question, Jerry. The history of it teaches us that there are sporadic, something happens and there are sporadic questions about limits to the standards of these declarations and policing ethics in public life. And then they go away again. Ireland remains, when you look across the European spectrum, Ireland remains has a poor sense of public governance, and we see this. We see it currently at play in the difficulties afflicting Bord Pleanála, and we see it elsewhere.
Yeah, John. Finally, on the wider sense of the opposition here, Sinn Féin has been very quiet about this controversy until Mary Lou McDonald's statement after Robert Troy resigned. Why this approach? Are they quietly? They're so far ahead in the polls. Are they afraid to say anything that would upset their own apple cart and getting ready for government?
I think, yes. I think they were taking a sort of presidential line on this. They decided, look, let's just pay out the rope. We don't really have to get involved here. Let's also say, in fairness to all of the parties, that Sinn Féin have had their troubles in this department before, in areas of property and various interests and so on. They have not been devoid of controversy themselves. Perhaps they felt the wind whistling round the glass house.
Yeah, indeed, they were treading softly on it, that's for sure. Okay, John, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks for your reviews on that this morning.